For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcon victory Monday, but we got work to do. John Fricke in for Andy today. Randy McMichael, what is shaking?
What's happening, John? Randy. Good to hear you. I'm sorry, Michael. Good to hear. Glad you could join us on this victory.
This victory Monday.
As we talk about the whole expectations and everything, the funness of yesterday over the Mercedes-Benz. I wasn't at the game, John, but I saw it watching it on TV, looking at the energy for all the Falcon fans in there as they beat down the Cowboys. I already know what you want to talk about because I knew we were working together. And as soon as I was driving in, the news of what's happening down New Orleans, and I just thought about it. I was licking him. I bet he's just over there licking it. He's just so excited for more Saints misery. And all those different things.
No, I'm actually not happy about
it. I know why you're not happy, because we know the whole new coach energy and all that other stuff. They're going to New Orleans and all that. I saw one of our favorite listeners, Miss Allie, she just tweeted that out. Yeah, that's a thing. I'm not going to sit up here and say it's a thing. It's a thing because you let it be a thing. All you got to do, they're better than the Saints. The Saints are broken right now. They might as well go ahead. And I know a lot of people, you see that also, John, that the Falcons wanted to be the reason that he was fired. All right, well, that's not going to happen. But do not go down there and give that city, in a city that I love to go to, love to visit, love going down to New Orleans, do not give them a reason to be happy, because they will make they're not going to ruin the Falcons season if they win this game. And obviously, we got all week to talk about it. But it would be just one of them things that would be a poker in the side of Falcon fans if the Saints got that new coach energy next Sunday down there.
Well, you know, I'm at the Northern Kia Studios, you know, way north of Atlanta, right, points north. And when I was down at the studio, I could always tell when it was hate week, because I would drive in. And once I got, like, inside the ITP, you know, driving down 75, if I rolled down my window, I could start to smell it wafting, you know, okay. But the stink is so bad that I walked outside here before the show, and all the way up here, I could smell it, okay. It's that bad. Because they are losers. Yeah. Okay. They haven't won a game since September the 15th.
Yes. Well, yes, we understand that, John. We understand that. It is. We will let you bask and pick and everything like that, because they lost to the worst team in football yesterday. And when your players come out tweeting and all that other thing, it's a bad sign. It was bad. And I heard you and Joe, you guys were talking about yesterday, this before they even fired him. I heard you and Joe yesterday on the Way Forward Tailgate Show talking about their situation. Yeah. Because it just obviously him gone, but they got a whole lot of problems in New Orleans. That kicking the can down the road is finally caught up with them. And then me and Bo were just talking before the show. Like, okay, you got rid of the coach. When is Mickey Loomis, the guy that did all these kicking down the can and all this stuff like that, when is he going to be, is he still going to be able to run his football team? Because right now they look like they're going to be in the same situation like the Falcons were before Terry Fontenot got here, as far as just trying to get out of cap hell that they put themselves in. They wanted to continue that, to try to keep a team together, and that's what they kept doing.
A couple of things. To Mickey Loomis, he came out during the announcement about Dennis Allen being fired and said that he couldn't defend, you know, what happened, and he couldn't defend Dennis Allen. And all I could think was, dude, how can you defend yourself?
Right.
I mean, what do you, okay. So that was one thing. Okay. So, yeah. The second thing is, if you're a Saints fan, you want to lose, right?
You
want to lose out.
You know, that's always a touchy subject with me as far as wanting to lose. And nobody wants to lose. Now, you might be in a position, if you're a Saints, that you're not talented enough to win. But nobody, you know, those guys that are going out there and everything, you don't want to go out there and lose, because the thing about it is, who knows if you're going to be a part of the situation going forward as far as, you know, the rebuild or whatever. You don't necessarily know that you're going to be a part of it and everything like that. So you still got to go out there. I've been in a situation where these guys are, and it sucks. It sucks to come to work. Everything just sucks about it. But at the end of the day, you got to be a professional and try to go out there and do your job. But, yeah, it was like I'm not surprised by it. Like, very rarely do you lose seven games in a row in the NFL, John. I mean, without trying to get a win somewhere in there. And so, I mean, it went from really good to really, really bad fast for them.
I get a big old smile on my face.
I know you do.
But no, you want to lose because Cam Ward. I mean, that's why you want to lose.
I understand all that, but yeah.
I mean, you got a broken down car. Chris Olave's now out. They're carting a darn dude off the field in Carolina.
Yep.
I mean,
glad he's okay. Glad he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, geez. You know, this team is just there's $78 billion over the cap next year.
Yes.
You know, I mean, at some point, they hadn't lost. You know, the last time they lost seven games in a row, Randy, when, you know who the coach was? It was Mike Ditka.
Really?
It was Little Ditka. That's how long ago it was that they lost seven in a row.
Yeah, but, I mean, hey, that's a them problem. And it's a them problem. It's something that the Falcons will have to deal with, you know, coming up this weekend. But, I mean, the game yesterday, John, I was sitting there the whole time like, you know, why is this game not – the lead bigger than it is? Because right now, I looked at that game, Dallas is not good.
I know.
Dallas is not a good football team at all. They're not a good football team. And you saw some things yesterday. Obviously, the sacks was big and things for the Falcons. Back-to-back sacks on a drive was outstanding. You saw Grady whip somebody's tail. Grady was whipping ass all day yesterday. But you got a chance to see that. But I just thought, you know, just coming down, just, you know, Cooper Rush, I mean, throwing for over 100 yards in that little backup time. It's like, okay, they were giving him a lot of the underneath stuff. But I just never thought that game should come down to an onside kick, John. I just really thought the Falcons should have won a little bit more comfortable than they did. Even though they were the best team throughout the whole day, they let Dallas have some plays there at the end. You know, we talked a lot last week, John, about, you know, there being the worst rush offense in the league, didn't have a run over 15 yards all year. They had racked off three of them in the first half. You know, and so there were still some things. And I love what you and Joe were talking about yesterday morning about, and you had it just hit it right on the head, John. I don't want to hear, no, we're almost there. I don't want to hear we're close, talking about defense. We're close. Get it done. And I love what you guys were talking about yesterday morning. That's absolutely correct. They were able to get the quarterback on the ground, and they pressured Dak a lot yesterday.
Well, in the crossover with you know, the morning show, you know, you said you Randy, said you were picking at them nits. Now, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's fine to be able to, you know, nitpick a little bit around the edges here, but let's also keep in mind, everybody out there going to hear me on this. You're rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs tonight, okay? Monday Night Football. If the Kansas City Chiefs at whatever the hell they call that stadium now in Kansas City, at Arrowhead, if they beat Baker and the Bucks tonight, the Falcons will be seven games to go, three games up.
Yeah.
Not two, three.
Yep.
Because they own all the tiebreakers.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, you look at it, I mean, they control the South right now, John. Let's just call it what it is. You know, I know that we're going to have some fun with the new – but they should beat the Saints this weekend. And then, you know, they've already beaten Tampa twice, and obviously they're going to mud stomp, I think, Carolina when they come here later on in the year. So, I mean, they are in the driver position. But when you talk about the other aspects of the tiebreakers in the NFC, I mean, you got one on Philly. You got one on who's another league? Because I was about to say Dallas, but you don't have to worry about Dallas anymore. But, I mean, then you also got opportunities with Minnesota coming – the Minnesota game coming up. So you have opportunities to work your way into the best seeding that you can possibly have. But, I mean, yeah, when you talk about, you know, just finishing games. And, you know, Dallas did possess the ball more than the Falcons. And they ran, like, almost 20 more plays than the Falcons did in that game. But the Falcons were really efficient on offense. Kirk Cousins, three touchdown passes. Great job by Drake London going up to get the ball. Now, when he hit the ground, the first thing I said was, ouch. Because I know when you hit the ground like that, it hurts really bad. But then I saw the celebration. Did he hurt his back before or after the celebration? Because, you know, you do have standing on your head and fall over on your back. You know, that's something that, but, you know, you got Darnell Moody. I mean, the statement of the game was Tyler Allgeier's touchdown run. I mean, that was an attitude play from the Falcons yesterday that, you know, that should have been it. You should have took all the life out of them and all those different things. But I thought, you know, just overall, you know, the Falcons, because they didn't have – they ran 56 plays in that entire game. They took care of business running those 56 plays, but I think if they would have got more plays, the score probably would have been a lot bigger than the outcome.
All right, just for a moment, fill me in here. John Fricke filling in for Andy Bucker today, John and Randy. Midday show on this Falcons victory Monday. I have no problem with fans who are out there, because I see them all over the Twitter and everything else, or you know, nitpicking here, because you could say, look, the defense, four fourth down stops. They stopped the fake punt. That was a huge play. Somebody said, Kyle Pitts was non-existent.
He was.
Yeah, okay, he was. All right, but let me give you the buts on that. Kyle only caught one pass for 11 yards. But He recovered an onside kick.
He did. Remember last time, the onside kick versus Dallas.
Last time in Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let's not undersell how big that recovery was, given everything that was kind of going in the game at the moment here. And, yes, the rush defense.
Yeah.
All right, so we can nip it. I mean, we could go over the positives, which is everything's – you won 5 of your last 6. You're in control of the South. But I don't understand what is going on. I know that Grady was out of the game and Aurora's on IR now, but I don't understand why the Falcons are just so bloody soft.
I mean, and it, maybe it could deal with a lot of – they ain't got a lot of big guys up there, John. I mean, they don't got a lot of, dudes with bricks in their back pocket or whatever. But I thought that was the biggest takeaway. I mean, Dallas was able to run the football. And maybe – I don't know. And a lot of times, you know, I look at it from the standpoint of what defense are you playing. They're trying to stop it with the front seven or whatever you want to call it. They might have to start bringing that eighth guy in. I don't know. Just to maybe get an extra guy in run support, but they do that sometimes and it still don't work. I mean, I just think that it's just what it is. And this team is just going to have to be more of an opportunistic type defense with the turnovers and things like that than the actual being able to lock teams down, because they can score. I think the Falcons can score with anybody in the NFL. And that team up in Detroit, we'll talk more about them in the NFL No Huddle. You're going to have to score to beat that team in Detroit. But can the Falcons be opportunistic? They got one of the best turnover machines in football back there in Jesse Bates. You're going to have to rely on guys like that, because it's just, you know, you're not able to just toe-to-toe shut down defense. Dallas helped you out a lot. The fourth down play, Dak, you got to check out of that. Because Ellis read that all the way. You got that position. Then what the hell? You take the ball out of your $60 million quarterback hand and put it in the hand of the damn punter. You would better off just going for it with Dak. You know, and so, I mean, Dallas gave them opportunities. They took advantage of the opportunities, which is the most important thing.
This hour, the Midday Show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. The Saints probably should call it Mark Spain.
There you go.
Back in a moment, yeah.
Sports Radio 910. Hey, man, it's going to be a long day.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sykes! 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 Three sack game, John. I said, what did I say last week, boys? That they need to get at least 4. They got 3, John. So I'm a little happy, John.
3. Well, here's the thing about that. There is a lot of misinformation going on, as you know, on the social media right about now. And I read that the Falcons had sacks and back-to-back plays early in the game yesterday. And it's just such lies. It's not a lie. It's just fake. It's fake news.
What the hell are you talking about, John? What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. So I got a big question for you, because I want to get into this, because I actually have 2 questions, Randy. Number one is, tomorrow is the college football playoff poll, and we're going to get into that coming up here in a few minutes.
Yep.
It's the release of the first college football playoff poll, and given everything that's happened in college football, and then it's the trade deadline in the NFL.
Correct.
Those are the 2 big stories that everybody's going to be locked in on tomorrow, right?
Correct.
I mean, there's nothing else going on, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, correct. Correct. And now, and just like most people, when we talk about the NFL trade deadline, you talk about your team, and we know the glaring need for this team is the pass rush. And there are some pass rushes out there. And you look at, you know, Za'Darius Smith, everybody has him linked to Detroit, to fill in for Aiden Hutchinson and everything like that. I mean, there's so many different names out there. You have Arden Key, the kid from Georgia, I always say his damn name, or Ojulari. I mean, there's so many different guys
Aziz.
Out there. Aziz Ojulari, yeah. That, you know, that the Falcons could use and everything like that. Still a young player, not going to cost you much as far as on the cap and things like that. Now, you're going to have to give up some compensation, but I would assume it wouldn't be that much of a compensation to give up to get one of these guys. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, you know, how many ever hours are left before this trade deadline to see. And I'm pretty sure, and I don't have anything under authority, it's just a feeling that I have, that, you know, there are calls being made by Terry – to some of these teams where some of these guys, some of these edge rushers are. You just got to see if you got to outbid somebody or maybe a player's preference. I don't know how that, you know, how that works all the time, but you're going to have to find a way to get and better this team and then hopefully get some of your rotational guys back, like Rook. When is he going to be back? I know they put him on IR, so he's going to be out for 4 weeks. And you got, you know, other Harris. I mean, there's so many different dudes that are not here with this rotation, and you would think that, you know, could you get some of these guys back for the stretch run, you know, leading in December all the way into the playoffs? Because the Falcons are going to go to the playoffs. And could you find a way to get some of these guys? But, yeah, the first order of business today and into tomorrow is trying to find some way or another player that can help out this pass rush.
Yeah, and, of course, they're down a couple of draft picks, so compensation is going to be an issue. This is the second question, Randy. We have talked so much about edge guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not what they need.
Well, you think Randy, they need a tackle or something?
I think you might need a Vince Wilfork. Go find BJ Raji.
Oh, yeah.
Find somebody.
That would definitely help. And I know that, you know, it's a different, you know, different era of football now, John, where those two down, big A-gaps hoggers, they really don't draft them and play them that much. He's more of a three-down type guy. Like, I thought that's what Dexter Lawrence is going to be, and he surprised the hell out of me, John, with 10 sacks. So, obviously, this man is just a different type big dude. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you're in so much nickel formation and everything, you kind of don't have place for those two-down defensive tackles anymore. But they got to find something. I agree with you, get bigger in the interior. I said a name like Calais Campbell last week, you know, somebody that can come back and everything, especially since Miami found a way to lose the damn game yesterday.
Yep.
60-yard damn field goal after they marched all the way down. And I mean, and that's what those things you look at. Just same thing with Cleveland, you know, them losing yesterday. That makes it more easier to move on from a Za'Darius Smith or guys like that. And so you look at around the league, like, what teams are going to be sellers? Like, you know, I mean, I know these guys are hurt, but I mean, Dallas, can they start to get sellers? I know I saw Jerry Jones this morning, last night, from his comments here in Atlanta, talking about, you know, they're going to do everything they can to fix this roster. What for? Like, they're not a player away. They are players away from contending and everything. And now you don't know what's going on with Dak. He had the hamstring issue, John, and the way he was walking out of their stadium don't look like he's going to be well. Because the thing about hamstrings, they're tricky, John. And if they say it's going to be 2 weeks, you better take three. And so, you know, who knows how that goes, but overall, the Falcons, I mean, they got to figure out a way to get some more help on that defensive line. How about I say that?
Yeah, they got to get some help, is right. All right, so Kirko talking about the game yesterday and saying, look, again, it wasn't as pretty as everybody wanted it to be. I'm glad that now our as Falcons fans, our level of expectation is not just to win a game, but to dominate games. And when we don't dominate them, we go, wait, we only just won? That's kind of a good thing. Here's Kirk talking about the game.
Yeah, I mean, like he said, John, it was work, man. It was like, okay, we gotta put our hard hat on to beat this team, and you really didn't need to. I just don't think Dallas is very good. That's just my thought.
No, I get it, but at the same time, again, you've won 5 of 6 in the NFL. Randy Mack, you played in the NFL. You could play the 6 worst teams in the NFL at home in a row. If you beat them all by 3 points and win 5 out of 6, have you won 5 out of 6?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
First of all, you know me, John. I don't believe in apologizing. I don't apologize for winning. Hell no. I don't give a damn who it is. Okay, you don't ever apologize for winning football games and everything like that. So I'm not disappointed at anything on the outcome because they won the freaking game against the Cowboys. And, you know, you had all the Cowboys. I saw the videos of all them leaving, everything early. I saw bags on the head, which is great, you know, because it's not a, you know, it's just one of those fan bases and one of those teams that you like to see lose. I said it on Friday, John, I love beating the Cowboys. It's a fun feeling as a player to beat the Cowboys because you're not only beating the players, you're beating their fan base, and you love that feeling, John. It is an absolute feeling. But there were some things that I thought, you know, that the Falcons let go. I mean, they were able to run the football a little bit. I mean, they were almost, and some of that's with Kurt, they only averaged 3 yards a carry. You know, I'm talking about the Falcons. I mean, I thought Bijan was really, really good, but I thought a lot of times in that run game, he had to make a lot of the first guy miss, John. You know, the first guy miss. Then I got to get upfield and everything, but I thought he was outstanding in the game. And, you know,
I thought he was great, too.
I thought he was really good. And I thought Kurt was really good.
thought Drake was going to have a field day until he got dinged up. And I'll give CeeDee Lamb credit for playing. We all, you can hate the Cowboys. How many times do we, at least three different occasions we saw CeeDee Lamb going, oh, my shoulder.
Oh, yeah. He was hurt, man. CeeDee was trying to fight through it and everything like that, but he was getting banged up. And you saw, it was one of those things where you just got to keep fighting through it because he's all they got offensively. Now, I talked about Jake Ferguson. And that first drive for Dallas, credit the Falcons because Dallas came out really good in the first drive with big plays to Ferguson on the first play of the game, had another nice play and everything. The Falcons were able to bow down and hold them to a field goal. And then, obviously, they get the ball back and continue to do what they do. But, yeah, I thought, the two fumbles. You get the sack fumble by, Kyle Pitts blocking one-on-one. On the defensive end, and that's just not a good matchup, John. It's not a good matchup when him on a pass rusher, and then you got to invert it like Chipper and Bijan, but Bijan's got to play on the outside of Kyle because that's where Kyle's expecting his help from Bijan. But, yeah, that was not a good call. Then you get forced fumble. You get their momentum and everything like that. But, you finish the deal, which is the most important thing. That's the most important thing right there. But there's still those things that rear their ugly head when you talk about the worst rush team in the league, talking about Dallas. And for you to give up over 100 yards, it's just not good. Not a good look.
Well, yeah, and for it to be that easy.
Yes.
So, again, that's why I think maybe we're looking in the wrong spot. Maybe you need somebody to clog the middle, and you don't necessarily need an edge, though I would love to have Calais Campbell back. If for no other reason, I think that if you think about Zach Harrison, we got the best out of Zach Harrison when Calais was here. Calais filled a role inside the locker room, not just on the defensive line in the games, but the younger players, the Ebukadis and the Harrisons, fed off of him the same way that the guys like Tack McKinley and all those kind of guys fed off of Dwight Freeney back in the day. You have that kind of a guy on the line and in the room. I think it helps.
Okay, let me see. All right. Him not being here is not the reason that Ebukadi and Harrison are not playing.
Ebukadi played well yesterday.
Yeah, he played well yesterday. That's what I'm saying, but he hasn't played well in a while. And I don't think that was because of Calais Campbell's not here or anything like that. I understand. So it's really good to have a veteran president. I would never, ever say that it's not because it is very vital, very important. But eventually, your ass got to grow up and be that veteran president. You know what
I
mean?
I know, like, right? No. Fair enough. No, you're right.
Yeah, you got
to. I'm just not opposed to having Calais back. That's all.
Yeah, I know. I would love to have Calais back. I would love to have him back here and everything like that. For what you said, because he's still playing, still an effective player and all those different things. But yet, they got to get because you'd be giving up. Is it a one move thing? Because if you're talking about multiple moves, you're going to have to give up assets for those multiple moves. Now, there's always ways you can finagle in the 26 pick in here and all those different things. But other guys got to step up, no doubt about it. But you got to get some influx of somebody. And it'd be interesting to see this day because there's so many teams that need so many different things. And you talk about teams that are going and that are all in. Ain't no team more all in than the damn Chiefs, John. Bo was telling me this morning, they're talking about going after Marcus Lattimore because that's the team. You talk about the Saints. You talk about who's on the Raiders team now, outside of Max Crosby because he ain't going no damn where. I mean, there are certain teams that you look at that might have a player or two that can help you. Not necessarily outside of the Za'Darius. I don't know if there's another pass rusher out that you can bring right in and him be an immediate impact, but can you bring somebody in to help as far as just a rotation booster type player? I'm sure that guy's out there.
And there's no reason the Falcons, as hard as they pushed over the last 2 years in the offseason in the acquisitions of Bates and Simmons and Judon, and actually Matt Judon made an unheralded, really critical play in that game.
Was
with
a
that
pass, house
patting
call.
That pass.
That
yes.
was a house call, John.
Yep.
Ooh.
If he doesn't get a finger on that, it's a different ball game.
That is a house call if he does not touch the ball. And it's Ferguson's fault. You got to sell it more. Yeah, I mean, right. you got to sell that play, that screen, that tight end screen. But if you're right, if he does not tip that ball, that's a damn house call. Easily.
And then, of course, when you spent all that money you spent to get, Kirk Cousins here, if you've already pushed all your chips on the table here. You've got a 2-game lead. It could be a 3-game lead by the end of the night tonight. You've got everything in front of you. You might as well do whatever it takes right now to push all in. I mean, there's no reason not to. Yes, the Lions are a very good team. Heck, who knows? You might not even play them in the playoffs. We can't know. But you might as well go. There is no reason not to push all in right now. Start of the second half. You're into the second half of a season where you're in control of the South, and Terry Fontenot ought to go as hard as he can, as deep as he can, to help this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, including, Randy, two players on the defensive line.
Oh, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I agree with that part, but it's all about what assets are you giving up to get those two players.
And no, I'm not worried about the future. I want parades over prospects. I'm not going to worry about it.
I completely understand with you like that, with your train of thought right there, John. I understand it as far as, you know what, I mean, how do you know this? Because they're not giving up their two. They already gave up the three. They're not giving up this.
I know.
They're not giving up one or two. I understand
Give up futures.
That.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe do you find a way to get it in the 26th draft or something like that?
Yeah.
And I'm still not giving up a one, two, or three. Because outside of those two dudes whose organizations have come out and said, you can't have them, who else is there out there to want to give up that type of draft capital to get? And they're just
Detroit's going to be going hard without Hutchinson. They're going
to
be going
hard. I mean, and then I saw they're thinking about Hutch. I mean, if they make it to the Super Bowl, he'll be back and everything like that. But no, they just rough. That's a rough ass team, man. They built like they damn coach. Rough.
Yeah.
And damn,
as long as
rough.
He doesn't screw up a game, they're going to be okay.
Exactly.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Start packing. Who's going to be packing for the college football playoff? The first poll comes out tomorrow. 12 teams will be in, and everybody else will be going to some bowl game or nothing. Sports Radio 90, trying the game. ESPN as Georgia holds off Florida in the cocktail party, and the Dogs continue keep it on. Midday show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy Mack, the good old dog here. And I will say that you know, Cash Jones is one of those guys, Randy. It happens, I guess you can even throw Stetson Bennett into that mix. Every year you're going to find a guy who you weren't necessarily saying, hey, that dude's going to make a lot of big plays for us. That dude happens to be Cash Jones.
Well, I mean, he missed him earlier. Remember, they had him one-on-one with the guy on the outside, and Carson overthrew him at one time. Yeah, Cash went in and made a play, obviously, with ETN going in. That bumps him up, to that second or third running back. He's their best receiver. The one thing that he does well, John, is that he's a really good in pass pro. He knows where to go. Now, he might not always block the guy the right way or whatever, but he always knows which way to go and everything like that. And, I mean, it was just one of those games. It was a game, John, where, you know, you knew George was going to win. And the one thing about watching – a game with my son, Samson. You met Samson before. It's like, he always thinks the word. Oh, we're about to lose to Florida. I said, we're not going to lose this damn game to Florida. All right? It's not going to happen. All right? But then it got to the point where you're just like, damn, how can a quarterback turn the ball over that many times and your team still wins in spite of you? And I'm talking about Carson Beck. And I know, John, you know, we were at John Parley, you know, his foundation. They had a wonderful golf tournament. Me and Andy were up there at Big Bear or whatever. And so, you know, we're leaving and everything. And this young lady comes by and says, you know, I got a hot take. She said, Florida's is going to beat Georgia. And I was like, okay. Now, she probably was joking. But then she said, yeah, because Carson Beck throws it to the team, to the other team, more than he throws it to his guys. And since he got the pretty girlfriend and the Ferrari and all this other stuff, he then forgot how to play. I don't think that's the case. Now, Carson is seeing ghosts. I don't know where he's going with the ball, but Carson lost two of his most reliable targets. And I don't want to say he's not trusting his other players and everything, because they have dropped a lot of balls. But some of those throws, I know Herbstreit were trying to defend that one across the middle. Even if that wasn't no pressure, where the hell is he throwing the football? Like, where are you throwing this football? And that's how you keep looking at it. And in spite of those three, you go beat the number one team in America at their place, talking about Texas. You go in there and you beat an inferior team that had their third-string walk-on quarterback from Princeton. There was no way in the hell they were going to beat us with him, especially with him. They were going to beat him with Lagway. Lagway completed one damn pass, and it was a great pass. And obviously, I'm screaming at the TV, watch the shot after the turnover, because that's usually what teams do. Watch the shot, and then I don't know where the hell Malachi's looking. And they got beat over top, but he wasn't. I mean, he obviously, I hope the kid is okay and everything. But, yeah, it was just him. And you're like, damn, 15, what are you doing? What are you doing? We know you're seeing ghosts. I know people saying Kirby needs to get on him and all those different things. He don't seem like he's the type of guy. He seems like he's a shell guy. Like, he'll go into a shell if you're on him. Like, he can cuss Stetson and everything out, and Stetson will go out there and continue the ball. But this guy here, I mean, he came out with all the blood, with all the eye black and the war paint. Like, what the hell are you doing? You ain't never done that before? Why is this so personal? Because you're going home for the last time? I mean, And I said this, John, I remember 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. I was like, ain't no one in the hell Carson Beck will be a starting quarterback. Because I never heard anything about him as far as I knew he was there. But as far as him progressing, because I kept saying, why isn't he better? Or why isn't he putting himself in position? Why they got to go get JT Dez? Why they got to go do all these different things? And this is going to be the guy. And he was good last year. And I kept thinking to myself, like, is he really that good, or is it because of the parts around him? And right now, I just don't know how good he is. I know this. He can't throw three picks down there in Oxford this weekend, or Ole Miss is going to beat the hell out of Georgia. I'm just let's beat the hell out of us. Now, that's just me saying that, and I would never you would never told me that him throwing three picks in Austin and Texas wouldn't beat the hell out of us. So I don't know. This dude is just I don't even know how to answer what's going on with Carson Beck.
I wish my team had such problems that you know, be the number two seed in the nation, and yeah. You know,
okay, I mean, and all yeah. that. And again, yeah. I'm glad we won, but this dude here is just like, what? I mean,
do you want Dylan Raiola back? I'm just asking.
What's wrong with him? He's a freshman, John. He's a freshman. Anyway.
So nationally, a couple of things. You know, number one, tomorrow, I know you guys are going to talk a lot about it tomorrow. The first playoff poll will come out, but we know the four top seeds. I mean, even without looking at the poll, they're going to be – Oregon's going to be the number one seed, the four teams that are going to get byes, okay? And just prepare for it because it's going to – you know, it's not going to follow the AP poll. Yes, it will.
You think
Oregon's so? Going to be the number one – yes.
Okay.
Oregon will be the number – at least of the top four.
Okay.
Oregon will be the number one seed. Georgia will be the number two seed. Miami will be the number three seed.
Okay.
And BYU will be the number four
you
seed.
You think they'll put BYU at four?
Well, they yeah.
Oh, they are number one. Iowa State lost – I'm sorry. Iowa State did lose.
Iowa State lost.
You're right. Okay.
So it'll be, and you have to explain to everybody again, to remind them tomorrow, Randy.
Yes.
That the top four seeds are the four highest rated conference champions.
Yes.
Okay. It's not, hey, wait, we're number three. How can we not be? Because you're not the number one team in your own conference, Ohio State. That's why Oregon is. You got to be the conference champ. Now, we'll actually play conference championship games, and we'll see if Ohio State gets there. But whoever wins those conference championship games in the Power Four, or maybe Boise State, if they continue on doing what they're doing, we'll see. Boise State could be a four seed. Don't kid yourself. They could actually be a four seed.
And that's something that goes back to what Coach Saban said when his first weekend or whatever on game day. He said, I hate that. The fact that is you telling me BYU is number four over Ohio State? I understand the concept of the conferences and everything like that. And that was a stipulation and all that other crap. But he's right. You're not going to get the best four. I don't think BYU is the top four team. Do you?
Well, no, but then here's the deal. You know, BYU would have to play Ohio State in round two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could prove it, you know. I mean, and to be a neutral site game, too. And meanwhile, nationally, we saw what we saw again because, like, for example, right now, according to the AP poll, there will be four Big Ten teams in. That's not going to happen. They're going to be playing each other. Indiana's got to play Ohio State in essentially a knockout game in 2 weeks, a week from Saturday in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Loser of that game is, if Indiana loses, I don't know if they make the Big Ten title game. It becomes more problematic for them because they haven't played anybody, even though I think they're a really good football team.
They are.
Ohio State, Penn State, because, you know, the coach over there at Penn State, Mark Richt. Oh, no, it's the same dude that can't beat
Come
his
on,
rival.
Man.
Who's this?
Oh, James Franklin.
Oh, James, that's right. That's who it is. Yeah, that dude. They want to hang him from a yardarm. And I said, look, I understand your inability to win those big games. I get it. But losing the game, if Penn State wins out, they're going to be in the playoff.
Yes, they are. Yes. Penn State is going to be in if they win out and everything like that. And that game just came down to different plays. Like the interception, a great interception by Ohio State going into halftime. You know, I mean, just that those type of momentum-killing type plays is what did Penn State in. And, you know, for a team, and I know all week, all leading up to all the whole game this past week was the offensive line for Ohio State. Well, damn it, they must have heard it, John, because they ran the hell out of the football. I mean, they were able to run the football on that Penn State defense. And, you know, Aller, he still wasn't 100%, but I don't think his health was the reason they lost the game. So it was just some unfortunate and big-time plays by Ohio State. Like, Ohio State went and won that football game. Now, we know James Franklin, his record against those top-caliber teams in the nation, pretty much, when they're top five, when they play against top five teams. But, yeah, if Penn State wins, they're going to be in the 12, and it's all about, you know, the seeding. And then, you know, you can just chalk it up to maybe any games, injury here, or somebody plays out of their mind or something like that. I still think Penn State one of the better teams in the country, though.
Oh, yeah. And so, well, I think they're one of the 12 best. Yes. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And so, but keep this in mind. This is why things are so fluid. Because as we go into the poll after last week, one of the things to look for is the committee may tell you that just at the moment, okay, just at the moment, that the ACC is a one-bid league. A one-bid league. That the Big 12 is a one-bid league. And they're going to say that by saying, look up where the second, you know, where's SMU's, SMU is the number two team in the ACC.
Yes,
SMU.
They yes, they are. Because
Clemson gagged that game.
Because Louisville went there and showed that Clemson is not as good as what they were on that run from.
And by the way, just totally over here, did you see... So Clemson is down by 12 points.
Yes, I saw.
Okay?
Yes, I saw what Dabble did.
And they kicked the extra point.
Yes, I mean,
to 13, and they kicked the extra point.
Yes.
What the hell did they do?
Yes, I saw what Dabble did. Yes, I saw what Dabble did, and I saw everybody getting up
Math
in their feelings
hard.
And everything like that. But, I mean, you look at the whole thing in the ACC. I mean, Miami, they get down to Duke. And if Duke's quarterback don't just throw in – just where the hell are you – he's about like Carson Beck. Where the hell are you throwing the football – you know, that could have been a game, but then Miami just ran away with it because Cam Ward is just that special of a damn player. But, I mean, you look at where the ACC is right now, yeah, it's Miami's league. We all know that. And now they come here to Tech this weekend. Obviously, they're going to beat Georgia Tech here in Atlanta on Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, that was the thing about the ACC was can there be another team? Because, I mean, obviously, you're looking away the trajectory of where Miami is going. It looks like Miami's going to be that team. But yet, who's going to be the second team? I know a lot of people – thought it would be Clemson. It's still weird to see that SMU is in the ACC and they're the second team in there, but it is what it is. That's where the numbers fall and everything. But, I mean, the Big 12 is crazy also, like we talked about earlier. Like Iowa State losing yesterday, I mean Saturday, at home to Texas Tech in the rain and all those different things. Great job by Texas Tech and those kids to be able to overcome.
Great job by me picking Texas Tech to beat Iowa State on college football.
And I picked Iowa State, you know, but I thought, you know, I thought nephew them was going to Rocco them was going to get it done, and they just didn't. And so, I mean, that throws a monkey wrench into it. And then you look at SMU, I mean, Pitt was undefeated. I mean, Pitt was sitting right there, John, and I don't think they were legit and everything. But, I mean, for SMU to get that football game, it's just so many different things. Then you look at damn Kansas State losing to Houston. Like, everything. Every time you think, okay, this team might be here, and they're not, and they end up losing the game like that.
Yeah, so it's going to be wild tomorrow to see what happens with the college football playoff committee and how. And again, don't put a whole lot of stock because there are a lot of teams. There are so many teams that are still alive.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make your conference championship game. Don't be shocked if Alabama is in the playoff as, you know, per the committee. And remember, don't just look at the top four teams in the rankings. I would prefer that the committee not do a top 25. I don't know what the poll's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think they ought to do, Randy, is they ought to do, here are the top four seeds to the bye at the moment. And then here's 12 versus 5, 11 versus 6, 10 versus 7, 9 versus 8. And give us those and then rotate those. That's all they've got to rank. You know, and then everybody else is on the, you know, and here are the teams we're looking at that are on the bubble.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I think Alabama would be in.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. But I think it's everything is so, you know, if we go back and we'll talk about the team that Georgia's playing this week, like Ole Miss. Like, I didn't know what to do about this Ole Miss thing. And then these last two games, they go to South Carolina, look like it'd be a track. They go beat the hell out of South Carolina. Think this weekend, John, I picked Arkansas. I just took the points in Arkansas. You think, Arkansas is going to make it a game, everything going there. And then Ole Miss just beats the hell out of them right now. I mean, they're playing well. Now, this is, you know, I think everything is, you know, they knock off Georgia. They're going to get in there. I mean, that's just such a big win for them to be able to not the number two team or whatever in the way they been playing lately. And I think that's going to be one of those instances. There'll be that type of two-loss team that people will be, you know, fussing over to maybe get
well,
in.
Well, yeah, I know.
Like that.
But see, this is why there's so much to go. I mean, what if LSU beats Alabama?
Yeah, well, I mean,
okay.
We saw,
you know,
another,
I mean,
shakeup.
Texas A&M lost.
We saw,
I mean,
a shakeup with A&M. A&M went and got blitzed by,
yeah,
South Carolina.
I know.
They got blitzed.
Yeah, not beaten.
They
got their butt kicked
by them and everything. And I want to
and got there. And especially, I'm watching that game, especially in the fourth quarter where they just got dominated.
They just dominated. And real quick, John, because I got this tweet a couple times. I just got one again from Tim. No, I don't think that they're going to go to Gunnar Stockton. No, I don't think.
No,
that, no,
there's
I,
no changing.
No, there's not going to be. I don't
Kirby
think
didn't
be
leave. Wait, he
no.
didn't leave Jake Fromm, right?
Yeah.
He didn't. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's the thing about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't see Kirby making a change of quarterback. No,
that's not what Kirby does. Did? Yeah. No. Jake Fromm. Justin Fields. JC Daniels.
Man.
Yeah. No.
Look at you, man. I mean, we got to have some fun in the NFL No Huddle because you know, it's always fun whenever you were here and we had me and you be working together and we have Bo here. Mm-hmm. And so, especially when it came to the Saints. And so, you know, the Saints.
Oh, that's
John,
that team down there.
You know, he gets salty about it because you're always like, what'd they do to you? Did you like apply for a job down there, John? Like, or something? And they just said, go.
apply for a job. You couldn't drag me down there with hooks and, you know, stuff from, I'll pass through, get a beignet and gone, okay? But I can't even roll my windows down. All right, quick break. NFL No Huddle next on the Midday Show.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.